Now, which words or phrases from the passage that I just read do you remember most? If we were doing a Lectio Divina meditation of this passage, which words would captivate you the most, or which words would captivate you first? An Lectio Divina meditation is one in which scripture is read very slowly, and when a particular word or phrase arrests your attention, then you can simply stop and rest and focus on that word or phrase, because maybe that's where the Spirit is leading you at this moment. And Isaiah 61 is such a heart-achingly beautiful passage that there are many possible phrases for a Lectio Divina meditation. Some of you may have picked good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and release the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. Some of you might be thinking of all the war-torn areas of the world, and you are focusing on that phrase, to build up the ancient ruins, dreams of restoration and peace. Any one of these phrases could be the focus of an entire sermon. And this morning I feel drawn a little more to that phrase, to comfort all who mourn, to comfort all who grieve. Particularly on the day of after yet another mass shooting, this time at Brown University. And I know that many more mass shootings don't make the news, but it breaks my heart every time it does. And if a mass shooting is defined as four or more people getting shot, then there have been 397 mass shootings in the United States in 2025. And if we define a school shooting as one in which at least one person was shot on a school campus, then there have been 70 school shootings in the United States during 2025. It's enough to bring me to grief. And with all that grief, anger, frustration, and heartache, the promise to comfort all who mourn washes over me and brings tears to my eyes. Now, these verses, in their original context, were spoken to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of the original exiles who had been taken out of Israel, or actually Judah, and sent to Babylon more than 70 years before. And now the exiles are free. They've been able to come home to the homeland, those who chose to come home. But the land that they returned to was nothing like what it was when their grandparents and great-grandparents lived there. Instead of a grand temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple itself, there remained a city in ruins. Instead of a land flowing with milk and honey, there was a devastated countryside. And nonetheless, the preacher, messenger, prophet Isaiah announces that they have been anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. And to display God's glory, they shall raise up the former devastations and repair the ruined cities. Such a beautiful promise. And yet, all the people have to do is to look around them and realize that it hasn't been fulfilled yet. Our Advent theme this morning is preparation. But how do we prepare realistically for a future that seems too dreamlike to ever come true? How can we prepare for something like that? And for me, the big picture preparation is doing our best to live as if the vision has already been fulfilled. And that includes bringing good news to the oppressed, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, comforting all who mourn. We do these things because we believe that these will all be routine in God's realm, in the ideal future. And so we do our best to live as if these things are being fulfilled in our midst. And I'm reminded of a sermon in the African American oral tradition. The name of the sermon is titled Uncle Walsh's Funeral. And it's a sermon that was found in slave narratives that were compiled in 1936. And a man named Ned Walker heard that sermon somewhere around 1866 to 1867, and that sermon made such an impression on him that he could still vividly remember it almost 70 years later. And to me, this sermon is an example of what it means to be given a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. It's an example of what it means to comfort those who mourn. And it's an example of what it means to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, Ned Walker, when he was speaking to the interviewer, he said, "Now, about Uncle Walsh's funeral, you know, Uncle Walsh was a blacksmith in the fork of the road across the railroad from Concord Church. He had been a mighty powerful man. He used the hammer and the tongs on behalf of all the people for miles and miles around. And Uncle Walsh joined the Springville AME Church, but he kind of fell from grace, I guess. Somehow he was accused of stealing Walter Bryce's pig, and I guess he was guilty. At any rate, he was convicted and sent to the penitentiary. And while he was down there, he contracted consumption and had to come home. His chest was all sunk in, and his ribs was full of rheumatism. He soon went to bed and died. Now, Uncle Pompey preached the funeral, and Uncle Pompey really knew how to preach a funeral. Uncle Pompey took his text from that place in the Bible where Paul and Silas were laying up in jail, and he dwelt on Uncle Walsh's life of hard work and bravery, how he tackled kicking horses and mules so crops could be cultivated and harvested and hauled. He talked about how he sharpened dull plow points to make the corn and the cotton grow, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. He told what a good-hearted man Uncle Walsh was. And then he allowed us how his going to jail did not necessarily mean he didn't go to heaven. He declared it wasn't eternally against a church member to get put in jail. If it had been, Paul and Silas wouldn't have made it to heaven. And the preacher knowed for a fact that they were there. In fact, there was a lot of people in heaven what had been arrested. Then he went to talking about a vision of Jacob's ladder. He said, "I see Jacob's ladder, and I see Brother Walsh. He's climbing up Jacob's ladder. Look, he's halfway up. I want you all to pray with me that he enter the pearly gates. He's still a-climbing. I see the pearly gates is swinging open, and I see Brother Walsh. He has done reached the topmost rung of the ladder. Let us sing with all our hearts that blessed hymn, There's a Fountain Free." And when they sang the second verse about the dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day, Uncle Pompey cried out over the crowd, "I see Brother Walsh as he enters in, and that dying thief is there to welcome him in. Thank God, thank God. He's made it into paradise. His sins has been washed away, and he has landed safe forevermore." And then Ned Walker spoke to the interviewer directly, and he said, "Well, sir, I don't need to tell you that the congregation started to shout on the first verse. And when they got to singing about the dying thief in heaven, and they seen the assurance of grace that was in it, they like to never quit praising God." Friends, something like that is the vision. And we prepare for it by climbing that ladder, one rung at a time, 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 as the congregation and the angels and the saints from every time and place cheer us on. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.